It is 19 minutes past 8 o'clock, and you're listening to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. Good morning. I'm Mark Smith. Joining me by phone this morning is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark. How are you? Thanks so much for having me, as always.
Well, it's good to have you with us. And I understand that that you are leading a hearing in the Financial Services and Governmental General Government Subcommittee regarding the IT spending and data security at the Office of Personnel Management. This is a big deal after the recent news about the hacking of the OPM files and the exposing of personal data of millions of federal employees.
No, I don't think you can overstate how important getting to the bottom of this is. As you know, literally millions of files were compromised. Right now, it's believed that the Chinese have done this. But these are very sensitive things. And right now, the government is in the process of storing a lot of records, whether it's concerning things like this that have to do with employee records, health care records through Obamacare. And so, as a result, we simply have to make sure that, government employees and also the taxpayers are protected in this regard.
Anna, what answers are you looking for from this hearing? What's being done to protect from now forward these employees?
Well, we want to know exactly what happened. We want to know why it happened, who is responsible. This has happened to them before, and it appears that they simply just didn't do the necessary things that they needed to get their house in order to prevent attack in the future. So really, we're just trying to get to the bottom of it, see if we need to provide more resources, but also to really learn in an effort to make sure that the same thing doesn't happen in the future.
Is there anything that can be done if it's determined that, for certain that the Chinese government was behind this?
Well, that's something that we're going to have to deal with. You know, at some point, you have to ask yourself, when do they cross the line? And certainly, I think that this does. So that's a question that Congress is going to have to deal with, the administration. This is really new waters. We're used to old-fashioned espionage, theft, and things like that. But these kind of things are just something that we're just now really learning to deal with. And then also we have to have the protections in place to protect ourselves so that we won't lose this kind of information in the future.
Right. Now, I know haggling seems to be still going on regarding the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The House has passed the trade promotion authority that was sought by the president to negotiate a trade deal. You support this authority. What's happening now with this in the Senate?
I did support the authority. We will have another vote, basically the same thing, and I will vote for that. What this does is give the president the authority to negotiate a deal. Once the deal is negotiated with the Trans-Pacific entities, then it has to go on a website for 60 days so the American public can see before it even comes to Congress. So I think it's important to give him the ability to negotiate, but it's also very important that once the deal is negotiated, that it's very transparent, that we can all see what's going on and then decide whether or not the deal is in the best interest of the American worker.
Yeah, now some Democrats are worried about this. They're worried about the trade deal possibly costing U.S. jobs. Is it going to ship more jobs overseas?
Well, we don't have a trade deal yet, and so, again, I'm not going to support anything that's not good for the American worker. What we need are not free trade deals. We need fair trade deals. We need deals that will, certainly make it such that they're beneficial for our country, also beneficial for the other countries, but we don't want to do anything to jeopardize the American worker or our sovereignty. So, deal's not completed yet. Right now, they're hammering out the details. At some point, it'll be posted, and we'll be able to look at it for 60 days online, the entire country, and then we'll decide whether or not it's a good deal or a bad deal.
Now, another issue that is affected by or impacted by this, Pacific Rim countries, the Senate Agriculture Committee is holding a hearing this week on, I understand, on country of origin labeling. The Farm Bill had required that that retailers provide country of origin labeling on meats and other food items, I understand. And the World Trade Organization is now saying this is an unfair trade practice. The House voted to repeal the requirement, On the surface, letting people know where their food comes from sounds like a good idea. So what's the issue, and what's the Senate going to do with it?
Well, it is a good idea, and there's a number of different ways that you can label a package that makes it such that you know where it's coming from. The problem is you can't officially label it according to the World Trade Organizations. We've lost this battle on four different occasions, and so the Mexican government, the Canadian government are in the process of deciding on what products they're going to retaliate against and put tariffs on. And so this is a major problem. We've lost four times. I think we need to get rid of the labeling requirement and then allow other mechanisms to kick in so that we can put on the package the ability to discern that, but not do it in an official capacity.
Okay. The other issue we're looking at that you've been focusing a lot on lately is the waters of the United States. The EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers are proposing to change how the waters of the United States are defined in a way that would greatly expand what land and water resources are subject to federal regulation. How does this impact a farmer here in Northeast Arkansas?
Well, it does impact farmers of Northeast Arkansas because what it's doing is federalizing waters that have never required a permit, things like that from Washington. And so the real concern is that as a farmer decides to I'll plow an area, do this or that, that if there's some sort of a little stream next to it, he'll have to get a federal permit to do that. So in the past, all of these type of waters have been protected by the state governments, and that's really where we'd like to see it lie. State governments are doing a good job. The federal government has done a good job in the past with the waters that they have responsibility for. And we can be very, very proud of the progress that we've made. But this is a tremendous power grab by the federal government. And I think if you look at the past court rulings, it's clearly unconstitutional. So I'm very much opposed to it, as is the farm community. And we're going to be working hard to push back on it.
Now, understand your mobile office is going to be in Greene County, I believe, Wednesday. Members of your staff will be on hand. Can you give us some details about that and what kinds of things that your staff may be able to help with?
Yes, sir, it will be there. It'll be there from 10 to 12 at the Greene County Courthouse in Paragould. And what that's all about is really trying to get out and about, helping people that many times rely on their children to get them around, to try and go to a government office, and so we're going to them. And if people are having problems with anything that has to do with government, Veterans Affairs problems, disability problems, just the various things that crop up, then if they'll run by, we'll have caseworkers there, and we'd be glad to help them any way that we can.
Now, of course, we have to talk about this. Last week, we had another tragic and horrible mass shooting in South Carolina. Of course, we've been hearing about that all weekend in the news. Racism seems to have been the motivation for this attack. And again, we as a country are left asking why and what can be done to stop these things from happening. Can we do something, or is this another case where we're just going to talk about how awful it is and do nothing, really?
Well, I think we do need to talk about how awful it is. And when you see the families that were affected, and it is simply a tragedy. It's difficult, though, in the free and open society that we live in. If somebody is, filled with hate, if somebody's crazy, then, they have the ability to impact the rest of us, whether it's with a gun or a knife or running over a bunch of people with a car. We do need to focus on mental health issues, and certainly, we do need to stand up, and as we hear people speaking in a hateful way, we need to set the example by saying, no, that's simply inappropriate. But it's very, very difficult in the society we live in as far as, how do you do this without giving up a tremendous amount of freedom?
Well, now, a lot of people are saying it's time that we need to do something about our gun laws to make it so that people have a little more difficulty getting the guns that they use to commit these crimes.
I don't know exactly, if the person that got the gun had it legally or not. But again, I'm not for gun control. I don't think guns are the problem. I think it's the people behind the gun. And so we as a society need to do a much better job in that regard. And certainly mental health is a big part of that. The hate, you know, that goes on is certainly a big part of that also. But it's a very, very difficult problem. And I don't think that, you know, outlawing guns or this or that is going to make the situation any better, and certainly would oppose that.
Well, a lot of people are opposed to what they see as a symbol of hate, which is the Confederate flags being flown on the Capitol grounds in South Carolina. Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney have both now advocated the removal of the Confederate flag from the state Capitol grounds there. Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't think this terrible incident occurred as a result of the Confederate flag flying over South Carolina. In fact, when you look at it, the tremendous outpouring of the community, both in the white and African-American community, the lady that risked her life, to actually follow the person that was responsible for this and make sure that he was apprehended. So I don't think that the flag is responsible. I think that the people of South Carolina need to sort that out and, do what they feel like is right in that regard.
The president said that this type of mass violence does not happen in other advanced countries. It doesn't happen in places with this kind of frequency, and that's the emphasis he placed, I believe, on it. And it's in our power to do something, is what the president said. Do you agree that we can do something?
No, I think we can do something, but it's going to come from people's heart. It's not going to come from somebody in Washington, some bureaucrat, or a bunch of rules and regulations. This is a matter that we as a society are going to have to deal with. And so again, it starts with ourselves as individuals. It starts with our hearts. And but regulation and bureaucracy is not the answer.
Well, I mentioned, Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney. Of course, Mitt Romney not a current candidate for president, but Jeb Bush certainly is. A lot of candidates for president this time, especially in the Republican presidential field. How are we going to sort all this out? Why are there so many running? And many of them must know they don't really have a shot at the title. So why is this happening, this incredibly large presidential field?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Mark. I'm not one of them that is running, so...
Well, why not?
I mean... situation. Yeah, exactly. But, the good news is for Republicans is that there really are a lot of credible candidates out there. And this is the way the process is supposed to work. And on the other side, you essentially have a candidate. And it probably would be much more healthier if you'd have, two or three others surface, maybe not 10 or 12 or 15, but probably would be healthier, if you had two or three on that side. So I think as time goes on, and it's so early now, these cycles have been moved up, where we start earlier and earlier. But I think as time goes on and we get towards the first of the year, that a bunch of this is going to, fall by the wayside. You'll probably have four or five credible candidates at that time.
How do you feel about the influence of money in the presidential race? Is it too influential? Do we need to do something to get that influence of these incredible millions and millions of dollars that are spent on presidential campaigns out of the process?
Well, I think that it's difficult to do. People have a right to express their opinion. They have a right to form organizations to voice their opinions. The entities that they represent. I'm an optometrist by training, so certainly healthcare has a stake in the next election, and they'll voice their opinion. So it's difficult to do. I think something that's real important is disclosure. That's a good place to start, but it's really difficult to control the actions of individuals and groups that band together.
We'll have to end it right there. Thank you, Senator Bozeman, for joining us today.
Thank you so much, as always, for having me. Appreciate you.
U.S. Senator John Bozeman joining us from his office in Washington. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU.